Hey, everybody. Very psyched to tell you, I'm going to be on Broadway starting July 16th at the Jerry Orbach Theater. I'm doing a one-man comedy show. It's not stand-up. It's something different. I want you to come. It's an historic theater. It's Broadway. It's crazy. I can't believe it's happening. July 16th. It's a limited run through the summer. So fly in. Take out a mortgage. I don't care what you got to do. And you get a discount on the tickets. Go to Ticketmaster.com. And enter the code TLS. TLS, you get 40% off. Code's TLS. And tickets go on sale June 15th. So a few days, tickets will be on sale. Hope you can make it. Ticketmaster.com. Discount code TLS. Hey there, thanks for checking out the show. Before we get to my guests, I want to talk to you about a really good sponsor that's been really great to the show, deepdiscount.com. Please listen up. They sponsor this show, which helps me give you the show. So your support of them is helping me bring you this show. It's a great site to save on all your favorite movies, TV shows, books, CDs, whatever it might be. And it's been great for my family. We have a great quality of life now. We're not arguing over trying to find stuff, you know, on the cable box. And my son's moving too fast with the remote. And, you know, well, we have other issues. My son now, my wife's worried because he's spending a lot of time in the shower. You know, he's that age. And she's like, I'm worried about it. I'm like, don't worry. She goes, well, how do you know? Like, what is he doing? What do you think he's doing in there? He's not doing his taxes. Trust me. He's having a good day. Hour and a half in the shower. It's okay. Right now at deepdiscount.com, they have really crazy, ridiculous savings during their site-wide summer sale. Tens of thousands of items on sale. Just click their logo on my homepage and you'll see what I mean. It's paulmercurio.com and click on their link, deepdiscount.com. And you're not only going to find classics from back in the day. You're going to find hard-to-find titles, new releases. If you like horror and slasher movies, check out The Strangers, Pray at Night, the sequel to the 2008 original bloody home invasion film. Here's a tip for you. If you don't want three masked villains to torture you, don't answer the door. Yeah, just watch The Strangers. Yeah. Get your copy now for a great price at deepdiscount.com. Be good to yourself. Come on. Click on deepdiscount.com on my homepage. Go buy something. I just got Young Frankenstein, $9.85. Watched it, my son. Halfway through, he went into the shower. He missed the second half. But, you know, that's how it goes. Cows. You're so cocky, am I right? Oh, we give you milk, which gives you ice cream and cheese and sour cream. And, oh, and our meat, it's the meat. When you have a steak, it's because our meat, our bodies were so good and succulent and juicy. No, a great steak has nothing to do with that. It's not the cow. It's about the grilling system. I know. I just got this new grilling system for my barbecue. It's the Mangrate cast iron grilling system, and it's designed to fit on the top of virtually any grilling surface. Check out their website, mangrate.com, and you'll see what I mean. It's a great Father's Day gift. I'm telling you, the steak on this thing, it comes off so juicy. It's not like regular grills, the tops, where you it feels like someone just took a lighter to your food, you know? For that perfect steakhouse taste, you need the Mangrate, okay? That's Mangrate.com. Order now and get 40% off all grates and premium brushes at Mangrate.com, M-A-N-G-R-A-T-E.com. Just enter the coupon code DAD18, DAD18, and you'll see amazing, amazing food comes off of the grill. It's not about the cow. It's about the grill. It's about the surface, okay? And by the way, it's 100% American made. Yeah, beat that, you cows. Some of you come from, I know, you're not all American made cows. I know. Anyway, 40% off all grates and their custom heavy duty grill brushes by using the code DAD18 at checkout. That's mangrate.com. Enter DAD18. Get 40% off. Have a great Father's Day and enjoy the cow. My guest this week, an Oscar winning screenwriter for the movie The Descendants. You know him as Dean Craig Pelton from Community, very, very funny, and star of the movie that is out right now, Bernard and Huey, which is a really, really cool movie that I really enjoyed. Jim Rash, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm well, thank you.
We were talking about the David Koechner there. He's been on the show as well, great guy and a friend, and he's your co-star in the movie, and you guys are really good together.
Oh, thank you. Good. Yes. On and off screen, we were good. You know,
there was no backbiting.
Yeah. No. Well, you know, I mean, yeah. I would say differently. No, yeah. It was Fast and Furious shoot. We obviously, met each other. I think we rehearsed for a couple of days at best and then we hit the ground running, but, yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah. But, he's a Second City guy and you're Groundlings, right? So
yeah, that was the only place where we really butted heads. Yeah. So yeah.
No, you call that an improv? God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah, you denied me from the very beginning. Right. We definitely, obviously, we both came from both those worlds, which are very similar in so many ways. Mm-hmm. So that's always nice. But yeah, I was sort of a groundlings person, still perform there. So I should right. say.
I know in improv training, I've talked to Colbert about this, and you know, Carell's gone through it, and Koechner, and I'm assuming you as well. The writing is just as important as the performing, and I was wondering how that writing helped you to translate into, you know, such a great writer of these movies and adapting the screenplay.
Yeah, you know, it's like I took some, you know, screenwriting classes when I was in college, but I think for me, my really became Groundlings was sort of my graduate school. And I imagine Second City or any other of these sort of improv sketch theaters were felt the same for them. But it was sort of like a graduate school, because I think you're constantly writing, you know, your shows were changing and changing over and over again. And so you sort of got into the habit of writing so consistently. And for Groundlings, you know, as far as a sort of fundamental idea, that, you know, ours is sort of character-based training. So, you know, obviously performing some of these characters, and even though they're heightened or, you know, maybe more for a sketch world, you know, we ground them in such a way of where, you know, in their creation, you know, we were always taught to pull from people we know, you know, and sort of be. And so with that, you start to sort of like mine character study, and then you mine sort of beginning, middle, and end, you know, even though a sketch is 3 to 5 pages, maybe a little mm-hmm. bit more, you know, you're still doing a beginning, middle, and end. And so that sort of feeds into bigger structures. So, you know, while you're doing them for a stage and for sort of a venue that is maybe for comedic purposes heightened, it still was great sort of foundations, you know, as Nat, my writing partner, Nat Baxham, we write separately as well. So our training sort of prepared us for, you know, things that we would ultimately end up writing that, you know, got produced or things that we gravitated towards, which was, you know, sort of a balance of comedy and drama.
Yeah, which is really what I liked about Bernard and Huey, that there were some really funny moments in there, but it's also, you know, smart, and it felt very real. Like, I'm not going to give anything away, but I just want the line you say toward the beginning of the film, you go, you stand in your apartment, you go, I got to start doing something with this place tomorrow.
yeah, which is pretty much how we all live.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Sort of, and of course, you know, nothing's going to change and whatever, but it was was there a fair amount of improvisation that they allowed you to do in this movie because of your background, obviously?
Yeah, we did a little bit, for sure. And I think that any improv that's sort of built out of a great structural map of a screenplay, and then obviously a map of these characters, is always beneficial, you know, because you'll find something in the moment. You know, certainly David knows this as well. And so I think there are certainly in the movie, there are things that might have been added to the end of scenes or within for the most part. And then when we rehearsed, we, you know, played with a few things that maybe just to, you know, you have a great screenplay, but then as the actors come in, you obviously are going to, they're going to have a take. So then certain things start to play. And then as a writer, we know once you get actors there and you start hearing it out loud, there are things where you're like, do we need to say all of this? You know, a lot of this can right. be, you know, not necessarily changing the words, but, you know, it's almost like you realize that's doesn't be as spoken. So I think those are the great little benefits you find as the process continues. But for the most part, you know, a lot of the heavy lifting had already been done going in.
What was the learning curve like for you on Community? I mean, you had acted before that, but, you know, when you're pumping out a show every week, you got to, you know, it's expensive to shoot shows. And so you got to, you got to move fairly quickly. Like, did that make you stronger as an actor, or what adjustments, if any, did you have to make in sort of getting adapted to that kind of schedule?
Yeah, you know, I had had certainly yes with TV in general. You're obviously while you're always you know, against the clock and whatever right. you're doing. For the most part, you know, the coverage that we were doing and the number of takes is different from what we were doing with Bernard and Huey, where you're operating on a very much smaller budget. Right. and shooting with a much limited amount of time and a clock that moves a lot faster. So but you certainly, you know, in that sort of training as an actor, you've got to come to the table a little prepared, you know. There's just not going to be as much room to get, you know, a number of takes, you know. And then a lot of times Dan, you know, the director, Dan Mirvish, was shooting a number of these scenes in one take, which both creatively is always a choice and fun, you know. At the same time, it's a little daunting because you're like, you have
it's a high
three passes.
Right?
You have three passes at this. And then when you get the edit bay, there's no taking a piece out, you know. Right. You have nothing to cut to. And, you know, as a, you know, a performer, it's sort of enticing because you are sort of doing almost like a little mini theater moment, you know, right in front of everybody.
Right.
So I think it's that's sort of the exhilarating part sometimes of doing these smaller budget things and having to get a little less precious with your time. In other words, precious with your time, but not precious with the fact that I need time. Right. To like really just like get the juices flowing. The juices have to sort of flow from the get go.
Yeah, I had a part in a movie, and the star, I don't want to say who it is, but the in between takes would turn to the corner and do dumbbell curls for a couple of minutes between takes, and I don't think it was pumping. Yeah, and I noticed you have like pretty well defined arms, so I assume you had done the same thing for Bernard and Huey. I was just curious if that's how you work.
I may have done some push ups, maybe in between.
For those bed scenes, man.
The bed scenes, I had to be ready.
By the way, there is something to be said for theater of the mind. And again, there are moments of, you know, pretty hot and heavy sex in this, but you're not seeing it, you're hearing it. And I found that almost as provocative as, you know, seeing it, you know. There's something nostalgic about sort of doing it that way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I know. I mean, I think sometimes that can be more enticing. Yes, you know, the I guess our imagination,
yeah. Yeah, exactly,
or what's not seen. Right. Yes, I would say shooting those sometimes feels a little bit more ridiculous because you're sort of just, you know, replicating it through sound.
Yeah, and then sort of, I guess because I work in this business or whatever, I started to imagine that you two are just standing in the other room next to each other, just making those noises. And so it just sort of was like, what did that look like? Which would be, I don't know.
Half of it,
How do you not laugh while you're doing it, right? It's like, in a way.
We're not in the other room, maybe when David's listening to it.
Right.
Playing Bernard, Huey.
Yeah, you're in a booth or something.
But when Sasha and I, yes, we were probably sitting on the bed and most likely trying not to laugh at the fact that, you know, because it's a long take, you know, because they can always pick and choose.
I'm like, this guy's got some stamina, man. I'm like,
I guess I do in this fictional world. Yeah. But yes, it's quite amusing to just be sitting on a bed, you know, replicating.
the magic of movie making.
The magic of movies.
What I found interesting about the movie was there were a couple of things I didn't expect. I didn't expect how it ended. About halfway through when something starts to happen with your character and another woman, I thought, oh, this is going to turn bad fast. And it didn't. But your character seemed to blame everyone for his shortcomings in life and mistakes. Was that sort of intended, or am I misreading that?
Yes, I think you know, these are two men, you know, not probably operating on their best cylinders right now. You know, we meet them, they're certainly past the precipice of midlife crisis and questioning and understanding who they are. And they have one, it's like any of us, we have a perception of it.
Right.
And then our friends see something different and then might say something, you know, to alert us to something that might be an ugly truth, you know, that we have pushed down. So I think, you know, Bernard is very conflicted in the sense of like, he grew up in a certain way and he's very heavily controlled by his past of who he thought he was, and he so wants to be, you know, his friend, so to speak, you know, to be confident and to be successful, you know, both in himself and specifically in relationships, but he's failing so badly, and chasing youth, you know, like many men sometimes are prone to do, for whatever reasons, time click the ticking and, you know, or making up for lost time, you know, for example. So I think that, you know, a lot of this is sort of the flawed character study of someone who is sort of not wanting to point a mirror, or look into the mirror the same way, you know? And so I think, you know, ultimately this is a moment of his life where he's having a cathartic experience by the end, hopefully. And so, you know, yes, time will tell the changes, you know, he might make or not make. So we'll see.
And just to, if you want to synopsize a little bit, I'd rather have you do it because I'm afraid I'll give some things away, sort of what sort of the premise of the movie is, just for people listening.
I would say just, you know, for anyone, it's basically, if you will, it's like Jules Pfeiffer, who obviously is, wrote the screenplay many, many years. He wrote it in like 86. So the screenplay has been sitting around. Obviously he's written Carnal Knowledge and has lots and, success and as a playwright and has an Oscar. So, I mean, it's like lots of, he's created these two characters, Bernard and Huey, in a, what was a comic strip back in the Village Voice. And ultimately was in, even in Playboy magazine at one point, which were basically these two middle-aged, characters who would chat about love and sex and growing old and all types of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, really this is about Bernard and Huey, who were friends, around the college age, and subsequently 30 years later, Huey, played by David Koechner, comes back into my life as Bernard, unannounced. And so it's sort of how a 30-year absence from this friendship has sort of revealed things about themselves and to each other. And my character ultimately meets Huey's daughter and starts to have a relationship with this much younger woman. Mm. So it's really about these two guys who are trying to figure out themselves and the women that are in their lives who are much smarter than them.
Right.
And how they change these two guys, hopefully for the better at some point. So that's how I'd say in a nutshell. So it's definitely the a classic sort of odd couple sort of scenario.
Yeah, but what I found is, and I read something differently than your partner of 10 years, this woman, the older woman that you've been seeing on and off, who's great at screaming sex, by the way, that she said, you're the old Bernard and he's the old Huey. And I actually was feeling like the roles had flipped, at least in the beginning when he came back into your life. Like he was kind of a mess and you were, you know, Mr. like, you know, hot with girls and blah, blah, blah. And it felt like it flipped. So I didn't quite agree with that, but you know, maybe that's the screenwriter's goal plan. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I think what that goal was, yes, I think when these guys come back, you know, I have become somewhat successful as far as finding my confidence, you know, both the flirt game and whether I'm great in relationships, clearly not, but I've become a version of what my best friend was when we were young, who I aspired to be. So yes. And I think, you know, Huey's had this sort of fall from his, you know, glory days, as he talks about exhaustively. I think the whole idea of the movie is when they come back together, that dynamic gets to go back to the old way, which I think inevitably happens when you see a friend who you were with for a chapter of your life, whether, and you bump into them or you get back together. It's like no time has been lost. Now that could be a positive or a negative, you know, no time lost in the sense that we've always been friends and we just pick up where we left off, or all these old demons come. So I think, you know, Sasha Alexander, who plays Roz, who you were just speaking of, who plays sort of my ex with benefits, so to speak, in the movie, is commenting on the fact that I think, you know, I start to flail because old habits are flipping again, you know? And so I think it's sort of the person I don't want to be anymore is the very person who I'm probably at my core, whether I like it or not. So I think it's one of those, you know, yes, you want to be a certain version of yourself, yet there's a more truer truth.
Yeah. She had an interesting line. I'm a transitional figure in your life.
Yeah.
Am I getting that right? And I thought that was an interesting line.
Yes, I think that's a big theme in the movie. It's about transitional figures. We all have them, you know, and I think it's coming to grips with the fact that we, you know, everyone has, you know, a few, a lot, or whatever, relationships and dating, or or long-term, short-term, or it doesn't have to be relationships. It can be just, I mean, it can be relationships in different ways. Teachers, it can be whatever it is. It's people who come into your lives, whether for an extended period of time, a short period of time, and affect, or you affect them in some way. In other words, they become a better or worse person because of their relation to you, or you become a better or worse person. But it's always about a lesson. So I think transitional figures are people who, you know, you could be in a relationship with them, you break up, and then they go into another relationship that has a success. And it's hard to admit, but you are pretty much preparing them for a better relationship because you put them into a better place, you know, based on their experience. So I think that's a great sort of theme of Bernard and Huey, which is obviously what we deal with on a day-to-day basis in our lives.
Yeah. And I think transitional figures, albeit transitional, I think everything and everybody leaves an imprint in some way, you know, and sort of defines who you are as you move through life. You had this interesting quote that really struck me. You said, "I have a fascination with the balance of comedy and extreme drama, and just the idea behind it. I feel like I'd want to do a moment with the Cheers writers because that's probably the quintessential show of my life." Where does that sort of, because it definitely comes through in your work, like with this balance of comedy and drama. Like, how did that sort of come about, given that you come out of the Groundlings and all?
Well, I think, you know, even through the Groundlings, I think it was, you know, as I was saying, you were sort of pushed to look at the people in your own life, to be inspired by them.
Right.
You took one little nugget of their personality, or you were really doing a doing them, so to speak, in a monologue or a sketch or something, whether you pull from your family or friends. And I feel like it's because you have a truth about them. In other words, you have a context for why they're the way they are. And that why, while played comedically, can be dramatic for them. In other words, we often have a horrific experience happen to us. Let's say it's a coming of age moment.
Right.
And at the moment, it feels like the worst thing that possibly ever happened to us in our lives. In looking at it, you know, with different eyes or a sense of humor, then it becomes a story that's played for comedy. In other words, you tell that story to someone for the amusement of, oh my God, can you believe this happened to me?
Right.
Now it takes on a completely different way, because I mean, I think most people who have generated a sense of humor about something, you know, whether we go through a death or something, we find this levity in it, but we also find our sense of humor, our ability to process something that happened to us, a lesson learned, whether it be difficult or not. So I think I was writing from that, which is why I feel like a lot of the great comedic stuff has to have at its core something that is important to that person, whether it be dramatic or emotional, that they're dealing with. And building off of that, you know, when we wrote the way back, my writing partner and I, we started with the first scene of the movie is this kid is told that he's on a scale, you know, his mom's boyfriend asks him on a scale from 1 to 10, Steve Carell's character asks him what he is on, you know, from 1 to 10 as a person. And this kid says, you know, Duncan says he's 6. And then he's told that he's considered a 3 by this guy. Now, that whole scene is something that happened to me verbatim when I was in a car ride with my stepfather. Oof. So we sort of pulled from something that happened to me with the understanding of what he was trying, this lesson he was trying to impart on me about, you know, you to take advantage of the summer more and meet more people. So looking back, I understand what his brain was doing, whether it was completely, you know, not the most tactful way to say it.
Yeah,
to a
tough
kid,
love, tough I, love kind of thing, maybe that kind of thing.
Yeah, how painful it is. But in his mind, it's a lesson he's already got.
Or right.
Why? So anyway, so then you go in this sort of comedic sort of results of something that started in a place. And I think I brought up Cheers mainly because I think it's a great character-based pilot that started with a great, you know,
yeah, this in depth. The The Royal Tenenbaums felt that way too to me as a movie.
Yeah. Like
sort of a lot of flawed characters, but really brilliantly weaved comedy and that's the best stand up, you know, like, you know, when you're just telling stories from your life that are real, that mm-hmm. and then the cherry on top is that also convey point of view. Mm-hmm. Then I think you've really gotten to that special place as a stand up, and that takes a while to find your voice and then be comfortable enough naked on stage to say the things that happened to you that might have been hurtful, or to say some controversial things that you really feel and that kind of thing. And I do think that's just the best writing across the board, no doubt.
Yes. It's like being very brave to just sort of put yourself because most likely everyone will identify with that.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you that the movie's really, really interesting. I just think you have a really great sort of career, that you've done so many interesting things as an actor and a writer. And I really can't encourage people enough to go see the movie. It's really, really well done. The acting's great. The writing's great. Where can people catch the movie right now?
Well, it's in selected cities. It comes out this Friday on demand. So, for example, like iTunes, if you happen to be in Los Angeles this Friday and the weekend, it's at Limley Santa Monica. And then there a couple of theaters in New York as well.
All right. Great. Well, it's great to have you on. Check out Bernard and Huey, and Jim. We'll get you back on. We'll talk about some other stuff down the road. But thanks for being on. Really had a good time.
Awesome. Thank you so much.